she got back from Robin's office, exhausted. Mom had been asleep on one of the beds, the twins tucked in on either side, and Layla had conked out on the other bed, her arms and legs stretched so wide there was no room for Ivy.
"Don't want to be separated,"
her dad was saying now.
"I think it's important."
Ivy cracked her eyes open just enough to see her parents sitting on the far bed. Mom was nursing Aaron, and Dad was holding Evan over his shoulder, patting his back. The room was early evening dim, and Layla was still sprawled out on the other bed.
"Normally I'd agree, of course," Mom whispered back. "But these aren't normal circumstances. On the phone, Paige said they'd be glad to have her for as long as we need."
Ivy's stomach flipped and flopped like a fish on the beach. Paige was Taryn's mom.
"She just seems so unhappy lately," Mom said.
"Of course she's unhappy, Elise. She just survived a tornado. Lost the only home she's ever known."
Mom sighed and stroked Aaron's head.
"I mean before all this. You know it's true, honey."
Dad scrubbed his face and shook his head.
"Maybe she'd deal with all this better with her friend," Mom added. "For now."
"But for how long?"
Dad said.
"We can't afford to rent an apartment right now. The rebuild is going to cost a fortune, and insurance only covers so much."
"Exactly, Daniel. Can you imagine the six of us in this hotel room for that long? Layla and Ivy will kill each other."
Dad exhaled loudly and patted Evan's back some more.
"I don't know what's with the two of them lately."
"I think Ivy's having a harder time adjusting to the boys than we thought."
"I can't think about this right now. After seeing the house again, salvaging pretty much nothing, we don't even know what we're eating for dinner."
Mom reached out and squeezed his hand as they sat quietly. Eventually, Ivy thought they started talking again, but by then the air conditioner had clicked on and Ivy couldn't make out their words. The sound of her heart trying to bust right out of her chest was all she could hear. Chapter 13 Biggest Secrets. The next day, Ivy had never been so happy to go to school. As she stepped inside the two-story brick building, untouched by the storm, it was the most normal thing in the world. Everything was the same, smelled the same, sounded the same, all the same people clustering together and talking about the same things. Inside these walls, it was like the storm never happened. For about 5 minutes,
"Ivy, wait up!"
Ivy turned to see Drew Dunaway waving his good arm at her. His black curls flopped into his eyes, and his other arm sported a purple cast. She looked around for Taryn, but so far, Ivy didn't see her. Drew was nice, but he hardly ever talked to her without Taryn around.
"Hey," she said when he reached her.
"Hey, what's up?"
She'd never understood this question. Clearly, school was up. Walking in the hallway was up, same as Drew. But Ivy simply said,
"Nothing."
"Sorry about your house,"
Drew said as he fell into step next to her.
"Yeah, you too."
"Oh, mine's not as bad as yours. I mean, we can't stay there right now. We're living with my grandma, but we'll be back in a couple weeks. Your house, though, totally gone. Wow."
His eyes widened and he shook his head.
"Wow,"
Ivy echoed, but she grimaced. Obviously, she knew that her own house was totally gone.
"Hey, you should draw a picture of it,"
Drew said. Ivy stopped walking and blinked at him.
"I should what?"
"A picture of the tornado or your house or something. You're always drawing stuff in class and at lunch. Remember that Star Wars picture you drew in my lunch bag last month? That BB-8 was perfect."
"Oh, I..."
"Could I see some stuff?"
"Some stuff?"
"Your drawings. You're really good. If you do a drawing of the tornado, will you show me? I mean, the storm was freaky, but I don't know. Maybe you could make something cool out of it."
Ivy nodded, ready for him to leave now. She didn't want to make something cool out of her destroyed house. She wanted to make her house whole again, and that was impossible.
"Well, see you in homeroom,"
Drew said.
"Yeah. Sure."
After he loped off down the hall, Ivy scrubbed both hands down her face. She felt like a volcano bubbling and stewing underneath the surface.
Ivy popped open her locker, happy to focus on schoolwork and history lessons and protractors. She was reaching in to grab her math and social studies books when she saw it. A drawing. And not just any drawing. A drawing that made little lightning bolts flash in her belly. There was a pink-haired girl and a dark-haired girl holding hands, and they were inside a treehouse. This one in the middle of an apple orchard. Except these apples weren't apples. They were glass orbs lit emerald and amethyst and sapphire from the fireflies that lived inside. Ivy would know. She drew it. It had been torn out of her notebook. Her lost notebook. Ivy blinked and blinked at the drawing. She pinched her arm, hoping she was dreaming. She pulled the ends of her hair until it hurt. Wake up, wake up, wake up! She didn't. The drawing was still there, propped up against her neat stack of books, one corner drooping from the weight of a paperclip. Ivy pushed herself up against the locker so the metal door blocked her from the busy hallway as much as possible. Then she reached in and closed her fingers around the picture. Clipped to the top left corner was another piece of paper with some words in a typed font. Ivy, this is a really great picture of you. Maybe you should talk to someone about it. Ivy ran her eyes over the typed page, but there was no name, no signature, no clue to who might have left this for her. They weren't allowed to keep locks on their lockers, so anyone could have placed the drawing inside. Anyone could have taken one look at this picture, at all the pictures in her notebook, and known the pink-haired girl was Ivy. Anyone. Ivy's lungs closed up at the thought of someone paging through her whole notebook, drawing after drawing, secret after secret. She had one picture back, a drawing she loved, but this wasn't how she wanted to find it. No way. This was worse than losing the notebook. This was teasing. This was torture. You okay? Taryn's voice startled Ivy so badly she knocked her elbow against one side of the locker and yelped, the pain radiating up her arm. Somehow she managed to hang on to the drawing and keep it in her locker. Yeah, fine, Ivy said, stuffing the drawing into her science folder. Her voice sounded clogged and watery. She cleared her throat before coming out from behind her locker door. Oh, did you talk to your mom about living with me? Taryn asked as she rummaged through her own locker. Not yet. It wasn't a lie. Not exactly. Ivy's mom hadn't said one word to her about going to Taryn's. Taryn emerged from her locker with a wrinkled red folder clutched in her hand. She stuffed it into her messenger bag. Well, ask her about it, okay? Wouldn't it be so fun? Ivy nodded. It probably would. Taryn's house was big and clean and quiet, and she always had the best snacks. Better yet, Taryn's dad was an amazing cook. After eating nothing but sandwiches and granola bars for 2 days, Ivy's mouth watered just thinking about Mr. Bishop's spinach and cheese omelets and homemade chicken carbonara pasta. But if Ivy went to Taryn's, it would feel like giving up, like admitting that her family didn't need her right now. Maybe even that they didn't want her. That was worse than peanut butter sandwiches for dinner and sharing a bed with her covers-stealing sister. In homeroom, Ivy's face burned red the second she walked through the door. There were only 4 seventh-grade homerooms at Helenwood Middle. The person with her notebook was probably in seventh grade, since they knew where her locker was. Which meant the person might be in this room, right this very minute, watching Ivy and waiting. For what, Ivy didn't really know. All she knew was that someone had all her secrets and was hoarding them like diamonds. She slunk down in her chair as Ms. LaFontaine called roll. All those names, all those faces. It could be anyone. There were a lot of kids at the gym yesterday, some who were displaced by the storm, like Ivy and Drew, and some who were there helping, like June. Ivy looked at June, who was a few rows up and over. She was hunched over a piece of paper, her head bent low to the desk, pencil moving. Ivy wondered if she was drawing. Okay, everyone, a few announcements before we head to first period, Ms. LaFontaine said while she wrote on the smart board. Then she tapped the word she'd written with the pen. Resilient. Who can tell me what that means? Nobody raised a hand. Here's a clue, Ms. LaFontaine said, turning back to the board.
The community was highly spirited and resilient, despite the storm damage.
Any takers now? Ms. LaFontaine asked.
June's hand shot up.
Yes, June?
I like this word, June said, her hands fluttering around while she talked. It means able to bounce back.
Exactly,
Ms. LaFontaine said, pointing her pen at June.
Resilient means the ability to withstand or recover quickly from difficulties. It doesn't mean things aren't hard. It doesn't mean we aren't hurt. It just means we keep going. We keep living. We keep trying.
June nodded her head like she was at a concert of her favorite band. Everyone else just kind of sat there, bored, including Ivy. She felt anything but resilient these days.
Are you talking about the tornado?
Drew asked.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Ms. LaFontaine said. Our school, the elementary school, and the high school are coming together to put on a creative arts show. In 1 month, on May 15th, we're going to display original student art that represents resiliency at the Kellerman Gallery here in town. It can be any kind of art you want, and it doesn't have to be directly related to the storm. You can write, paint, draw, do a collage, submit photographs. As long as we can see it, it's good to go.
The class started murmuring excitedly. June was wiggling so much, Ivy thought she was going to lift right off her chair.
Ms. LaFontaine passed out an information sheet about the art show.
Ivy took the green paper, which read, Resilient Helenwood, Claiming Our Future, Remembering Our Past, and stuffed it into her hand-me-down backpack. When she glanced up, June was twisted in her seat, eyes fixed on Ivy. She tapped the green sheet and smiled, tossing Ivy a thumbs up. Ivy gave June a small smile back, but something nudged at her, like a finger poking her in the shoulder over and over again. She thought about how much fun she had with June the other night. Actual fun, when fun shouldn't have been possible. Ivy didn't know June very well, but what she did know, she liked. June was funny and kind and, yeah, a bit quirky, a bit weird, but that's what made her interesting. And June knew what Ivy's drawings looked like. Not the treehouse ones, but other stuff. Mermaids and whales and girls' faces. Ivy was sure that June would recognize her art. More important, June was in the gym that morning. She had been stacking pillows and blankets as they cleared the gym floor for the blood drive, right around the time Ivy had been looking for her notebook. Now Ivy wondered if June was the keeper of her biggest secret. Chapter 14. Perfect. On the way home from school, Taryn wouldn't stop talking.
Soccer game during PE today. That was the toughest goal I think I've ever made. Did you see? It was a thing of beauty. Even Drew looked impressed, and he's the best player I know, even with a broken arm.
Ivy uh-huh'd her way through the conversation, but barely heard a word. She was too busy thinking of the note she'd left in her own locker right before she left school.
Talk about what? And please give me back my notebook.
She'd scribbled it on a piece of paper during third period, then threw it away. Then she wrote it down again in fourth period, erased it during fifth, and finally perfected it in sixth. She half hoped it would remain in her locker, unseen, and whoever had her notebook would leave her alone. But she wanted an answer, and she wanted her notebook back.
Ivy, did you hear me?
Ivy blinked Taryn back into focus.
Sorry, what?
Taryn huffed through her nose, but smiled.
I said, did you notice Drew's cast?
As in, he has one?
As in, it's purple!
Okay.
Purple is my favorite color, Ivy. Don't you think it's a sign? Maybe I should do a reading for myself.
Normally, Ivy would have smiled and indulged Taryn's gooey crush. But today, it felt like sandpaper on a sunburn.
Purple is also one of our school colors,
Ivy said.
Yeah, but how often does a guy get a purple cast? I think it's pretty cool.
Yes, it's cool. Ivy knew her voice sounded uninterested, but she couldn't help it. Her brain felt stuffed with cotton, no room for anything else. And the scene as they walked down Main Street didn't help matters. Here and there, Ivy saw shingles ripped off roofs and windows busted right through. The curbs were loaded with tree limbs and trash and ruined things that people had swept from the streets. Ivy's favorite pizza place, Vesuvio's, was demolished, only one brick wall still standing at the corner of 2nd and Main Streets. Ivy's mouth watered for the meatball pizza she'd never eat again. At least, not for a long time. They slowed to a stop at the intersection of Main and 3rd, where Ivy needed to keep going straight, and Taryn needed to turn left.
Well, Taryn said, I guess I'll see you later.
Yeah, all right.
You okay?
Taryn asked. Ivy gritted her teeth. She was getting really sick of that question, and she couldn't keep the crackle out of her voice.
I'm fine.
Taryn frowned but nodded as she turned and left. Ivy watched her walk away. She felt a pinch of guilt, but she didn't know what to do about it. All she could think about was her notebook. And when she wasn't thinking about her notebook, all she could think about was her destroyed home. The Calliope Inn that loomed up on her right like a haunted house, all eaves and gables, was very much not her home. Inside the inn, Ivy climbed the creaky steps to her family's room, bracing herself for a flourish of activity and noise. But when she swung the door open, everything was quiet. Her mom sat on the floral sofa reading an old-looking, cloth-bound book that must have belonged to Robin. Ivy looked around for Layla, but didn't see her. Then she remembered that her sister had lacrosse practice after school. This morning, Mom had insisted that Layla go, claiming it was important to keep living. Then Mom and Layla had hugged, and Mom had wiped her eyes, all while Ivy watched from the doorway, half a granola bar stuffed in her mouth. Now Ivy was glad Layla was living. Ivy couldn't remember the last time she got some alone time with her mother.
Hey,
Ivy said, dropping her backpack and plopping down on the couch next to Mom.
Where's Dad?
Mom looked up from her book and smiled. Her hair was in a messy bun, and she was wearing borrowed sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Hi, sweetie, Mom said.
He's at work with Jasper, and then he has to go by the house later. The farm. The old place. Mom scrunched up her brows and frowned, clearly clueless over what to call their ruined house.
Why?
Ivy asked. Mom waved a hand.
Boring grown-up stuff, insurance and estimates.
Ivy nodded and looked around their little room. Aaron was in a bouncy seat they got from their church's nursery, batting at the toys hanging from the bar. Evan was lying on a blanket next to his brother, gnawing on a rubber giraffe. Ivy's head cleared a little. She tucked her legs underneath her and snuggled in next to her mother. She breathed in deep, and despite the unfamiliar clothes, could still smell her mother's scent, shea butter lotion and a hint of pencil lead.
I lost my notebook at the gym,
Ivy said, playing with the hem of her mother's t-shirt. The purple one I've had for a while.
You did,
Mom said.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
And someone found it, but I don't know who. It was right there, edging toward the tip of Ivy's tongue, but she couldn't get it out. If she said it, she'd have to tell her mother about the note in her locker. And that would lead to all the pictures in her notebook, and that would lead to a lot of stuff Ivy wasn't ready to trust anyone with.
Can you redraw the pictures you lost?
Mom asked.
I don't know.
Ivy thought of the picture she'd gotten back today, hoping she'd feel something like excitement or relief. But the only thing she felt was a coil of nerves in her belly. Mom kissed the top of Ivy's head and pulled her closer, running her fingers through Ivy's hair. Ivy let herself imagine they were at home, sitting on the worn brown leather couch in their living room, and there was no such thing as tornadoes and lost notebooks. Next, Ivy knew she was curled up all by herself on the couch, blinking sleep from her eyes. The hotel room lamps were glowing warmly, and the sky outside the window was starting to dim in the evening sun.
You are tired, sweetie,
Mom said from where she was nursing Aaron in the armchair. Evan was now in the bouncy seat, cooing happily.
Yeah,
Ivy said, sitting up and rubbing her eyes.
Hey, I found something that might make you feel better,
Mom said. She shifted, and Aaron whined, but she managed to dig a folded piece of paper out of her pocket.
This drawing is yours, right?
she asked, handing Ivy the paper.
It's so beautiful, sweetie. Maybe it'll help you start a new notebook.
Ivy peered at the picture, and her mouth fell open. It was the drawing of her family that she'd ripped out of her notebook the night of the storm. The one that was most definitely missing Ivy.
Where did you get this?
Ivy asked. Mom frowned and patted Aaron's back.
Don't be mad, honey.
Robin offered to throw in a load of laundry while you were sleeping, and your pillowcase was filthy. This fell out when I took it off the pillow. Ivy looked down, her throat too tight to talk. She knew it wasn't a big deal. It was just a drawing. But it wasn't something she was ready to show anyone, especially not her family. For the second time today, her innermost thoughts were exposed.
Ivy, Mom said, this is exquisite.
Ivy's chest loosened a little.
It is?
Of course it is. I didn't realize how long it's been since I've seen any of your drawings. Honey, you've improved so much. The lines and expressions on our faces. The unique use of color.
Mom nodded toward the picture.
That's more than a drawing. That's a story. Everything in Ivy felt warm. Because, yes, it was a story. Because, yes, Mom finally saw it. Saw Ivy. Saw everything she couldn't get out in words since the twins came.
It's just perfect, Ivy,
Mom said. Everything in Ivy went cold.
It's what?
Can I put it up on the wall? Mom asked, her blue eyes dancing.
Maybe over the sofa or between the beds where everyone can see it.
We need a few things to make it feel more homey in here.
Perfect. It's just perfect.
Ivy looked at the paintings of flowers and mountain scenes already hanging on the walls. She imagined what Layla would say about her drawing. She'd probably love that Ivy colored the grass pink.
Maybe Layla would say it was perfect, too.
What if Dad gushed over it, just like Mom was doing? Ivy quietly folded the drawing.
Ivy, honey,
I don't want it up on the wall.
Why not? It's lovely.
Ivy stood up.
Can I go to Taryn's?
I told her I'd come over and study. Mom's eyebrows wrinkled together.
Of course, but I'd like to talk about...
Aaron's cry cut her off. He bucked against Mom's chest, and his face scrunched up like a raisin. Mom stood up and swayed, trying to quiet him.
Ivy.
But then, Layla flung the door open so hard that it banged against the wall. She had on navy blue lacrosse shorts, and she was mad, her hair flying behind her. She all but threw her hand-me-down messenger bag toward the desk, its contents spilling everywhere.
I hate Mackenzie Everett!
Layla spat.
I swear she has it out for me as captain. She tripped me. Actually tripped me. During warm-ups, trying to make me look bad in front of Coach Vaughn.
Layla barely took a breath before she launched into more reasons why Mackenzie was the antichrist in eyeliner. Layla wasn't nearly this moody when she was friends with Gigi. Then again, maybe it was this room. Their vanished house. Maybe it was a lot of things. Aaron wailed on, and pretty soon Evan joined him, and the whole room was nothing but noise and complaining, everyone trying to fit somewhere. No one noticed when Ivy slipped quietly out the door. Chapter 15. Suspect Number 1. Ivy didn't go to Taryn's house. Instead, she marched straight down Main Street toward Cherry, where a bunch of old, renovated bungalows stood in a happy little row across from the park. At the corner, she dug the yellow notebook Robin had given her out of her borrowed backpack. She found the nub of a pencil she'd gotten out of her locker and crouched down, balancing the notebook on her knees. On the first page, across the very top, she wrote a name. June Somerset, Suspect Number 1. It was more than a name, Ivy thought as she underlined it twice. It was a mission. Ivy wanted to run down Cherry Street, but her ankle still smarted a little, so she slapped her notebook shut and forced herself to walk. Plus, she had to play it cool, calm, casual. She was halfway down the street when she realized she wasn't sure which house was June's, only that it was somewhere along this road. She slipped her notebook into the backpack and looked around. It was still light outside, and muggy, like she was walking inside a giant's mouth. Still, it was clear, and a white sliver of moon already hung in the sky. Ivy turned this way and that, hoping for some clue to where her suspect lived. But all the houses looked the same with their wide porches and stone steps, large front windows glowing warmly. Luckily, her suspect found her.
Ivy! Hey!
A few houses away from where Ivy was standing, a girl ran down the porch steps and waved her hand. Ivy waved back and headed toward June. She was dressed in black yoga pants and a light pink t-shirt with her hair pulled back on one side, fastened with crisscrossing bobby pins. There was a tiny braid just over her ear. She beamed, and Ivy couldn't help but smile back.
"What's up?"
June asked. "Are you running away?" Ivy's smile dipped.
"What?
No.
Why would you ask me that?"
June pointed to the backpack hanging off Ivy's shoulders.
"Oh,"
Ivy said, tightening her grip on the straps.
"No, I just..."
But Ivy wasn't sure how to finish that sentence. She didn't want to tell June that, yes, she was sort of running away, if only for an hour or two. And she certainly couldn't tell June her true intentions. Investigation. June tilted her head at Ivy but didn't ask her to explain.
"You want to do something?"
she asked. "I'm so bored. My mom had to leave to deliver a baby at the hospital, and I'm not allowed to go anywhere. But maybe we can draw some more?
I need to draw a person. Can you help me draw a person? Well, a girl, really. A glass girl, to be specific. And I don't think I can..."
"Breathe, June." June took a deep breath, her eyes wide. It was actually really cute, and Ivy had to stifle a laugh.
"Sorry," June said. "It's fine. I just didn't want you to pass out."
June nodded, but looked down at her feet. Her cheeks darkened a little, and her teeth worried at her lower lip. Ivy used the few seconds to look for some obvious sign of betrayal, like it would show up as a red mark on June's forehead or arm or something. The only really obvious sign was that June wanted to hang out with someone. Ivy could draw it. The loneliness. A wispy cloud the color of a clear sky just after sunset. All deep blues and purples.
"We can do some drawing,"
Ivy said. June's head popped up, a grin pushing out the momentary sadness in her eyes.
"Great! I've already been trying some things, but I'm awful. I'm so glad you showed up. Not that I only like you because you can draw. I like you. I really do."
Ivy laughed, and, weirdly, felt a warm blush spill into her cheeks.
"Good to know."
She followed June to her front porch, where at least 2 dozen pieces of paper were scattered over the stone floor, along with about 30 different shades of colored pencils. There was a journal, too, with one of those fancy ribbons attached to the spine to mark your place. It was open to the middle, and blue-inked handwriting covered the pages.
"So, what are you trying to do?"
Ivy asked, sitting down and pretzeling her legs. "Did you say you needed to draw a glass girl?" June nodded and sat across from Ivy.
"And you're the perfect person to help. You draw girls perfectly. I'm so jealous."
Ivy narrowed her eyes at June, but June just grinned back.
Thanks,
Ivy said. But she decided right then to keep her guard up. She was dealing with a suspect, after all, not a friend. June waved a hand over the drawings on the porch.
"They're terrible, right? And I don't know how to make it look like glass. And I want strong glass, not breakable glass. Or maybe glass that's in the process of breaking, like the girl is getting out of a cage or something. I don't know yet."
Ivy waited for more details, but June just rested her chin in her hands and sighed at her drawings. Ivy picked up a few papers, all of them with round faces and boxy bodies. In the middle of the mess, she saw the drawing of Greenlee she'd made the other night. June seemed to be using it as an example. Ivy looked around for more of her own drawings, ones that June shouldn't have. Finding none, she picked up a nearby sketchbook and laid it in her lap.
"Okay, so I think you should keep your girl simple."
June scooted over all the papers, plowing through them like a boat through ocean waves, until she was right next to Ivy.
You want to draw the bottom part of the face first, and fill in the hair later.
Ivy showed June what she meant, and June nodded along. When Ivy was ready to add a body, she paused.
Sorry, I'm going to need a few more details about this glass girl thing, she said.
Oh, June laughed. Yeah, I guess that does sound kind of weird.
Just a little.
June grabbed her journal. Ivy heard her take a few deep breaths, her fingers drifting over the written words on the page.
So, you know that creative arts show Ms. LaFontaine told us about today? June asked.
Resilient Helenwood?
June nodded. Well, I want to do something for it.
Ivy's mouth fell open.
You do? I know I'm not a great artist like you, but it won't only be drawing. It'll be poetry and maybe some photographs, too. It'll be a bunch of stuff. I'm not sure yet, but writing is what I like the best, so I want that to be the main part.
That's great, Ivy said, and she meant it. Still, something that felt a little bit like jealousy pinched at her chest.
You should do it too, Ivy, June said, as though reading her mind. I bet you could come up with some amazing drawings.
Ivy smiled and nodded, that pinch twisting harder. Ivy had never put her drawings on display before, especially since all the things she'd wanted to draw for the past year weren't things she could show anyone. They were lock and key diary entries. Putting them in a frame and hanging them on a wall felt like that dream where you walk into school without any clothes on.
Anyway, June said, I want to draw a glass girl because of this.
Then she slid her journal into Ivy's lap and promptly buried her face in her hands. Ivy picked up the journal and read the neat scrawl. Glass feet, glass hands, glass bones under my skin, glass heart, glass eyes, glass paper and glass pen, glass girl in a glass room, glass wishes on a glass moon, glass daughter, flesh and bone, glass dreams in a glass tomb. Ivy read it again, and then again. And after she'd read it a third time, all she could get out was a profound, wow.
Is it awful?
June said from behind her hands.
What?
Ivy shook her head like she was coming out of a trance.
No way! It's amazing! Beautiful! See, you're good at something.
Extremely good. June's brown eye appeared between two of her fingers.
Really? Really? What does it mean?
June took her journal back, shrugging as she dropped her gaze. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to, Ivy said. I know it can be hard, talking about stuff. Ivy's mind whirled like a top over hardwood as she thought of the notebook thief's words. She watched June for signs of smugness or sneakiness, or anything other than the doe-eyed look of wonder June wore right now, but she didn't find them.
You feel like that too?
June asked. Ivy nodded. I've never let anyone read my poems, June said, hugging the journal to her chest. Then she exhaled so loud Ivy startled.
That was scary. Ugh. But I did it!
June was back to smiling.
And you said it wasn't awful!
June was so happy that Ivy laughed, her investigation forgotten again. She tapped her pencil against the sketchbook.
It's the opposite of awful. As for drawing a glass girl, I think if we...
But her voice was cut off when June slipped her hand into Ivy's and squeezed. A fluttery feeling swept over Ivy, the color a soft and wispy pink in her mind. She'd felt it before, after she and June had drawn all night in the school library.
Happiness.
She wished her mom could see her right now because unhappy was the last word Ivy would use to describe herself. But as June grinned at Ivy and pressed their palms together, Ivy's stomach fluttered again, and again. Pink upon pink, a little zing zigzagging up her arm. It felt different from happiness, but Ivy wasn't quite sure why or how. Whatever it was, it didn't stop when June released Ivy's hand and looked down at the sketchbook in Ivy's lap, ready to create her glass girl. Ivy gulped, and then coughed, using the time to get her stomach to behave. Before they could do or say anything else, June's mom's truck bounced into the narrow driveway. June popped up to her knees and started grabbing at all the papers, collecting them in her arms in a haphazard bundle. "Help me, will you?" June asked, panic edging her voice. The whole thing reeked of secrets, a smell Ivy knew very well, so she didn't bother asking why. "Put them in here," Ivy said, holding open her backpack. Together, they stuffed all of June's papers into the bag, as well as the art supplies and June's journal. "Thanks," June whispered, just as Dr. Somerset, dressed in light blue scrubs, started up the porch steps. "Hi, girls," she said. "Hey, Mom," June said. "How's the baby?"
"Healthy and huge. Almost 10 pounds.
She tilted her head at Ivy. "How's your ankle, Ivy?"
"Better,"
Ivy said. "Thanks." Dr. Somerset smiled and then turned her attention to her daughter. "Did you eat the dinner I left for you?" June nodded. "And you took your vitamins?" June huffed.
"Yes."
"Just making sure, honey. And I remember asking you to stay inside tonight and work on homework." She looked at her watch. "It's almost 7:30, which means you should be in your PJs and reading by now." June didn't respond, but glared at the ground.
"I'm so glad you came by, Ivy," Dr. Somerset said. "But June needs to get some rest."
"Oh, okay." Ivy looked at June, who had shifted her glare to her mother. "I'll just..."
"No!"
June snapped, like a whip. Dr. Somerset's eyes widened.
"Honey."
"No! It's not even 8 o'clock. I'm 12, not 2. I want Ivy to come inside, and I want to show her the backyard. I mean, if she wants to stay."
Ivy had no clue what to say. She did want to stay, but wasn't sure what was going on here.
Dr. Somerset looked just as flummoxed. She and June stared each other down.
"All right," Dr. Somerset said calmly. "Ivy can stay, if she's able."
June clapped and started jumping up and down.
"Your parents know where you are, Ivy?"
Dr. Somerset asked. Ivy nodded. She didn't like lying, but it wasn't as if her parents would go looking for her anyway. Plus, she'd asked her mom if she could go to Terrans. This was...
close to Terrans.
Sort of.
"You have an hour,"
Dr. Somerset said.
"Great, thanks, Mom!"
June grabbed the backpack and Ivy's hand before pulling her through the front door. Ivy barely caught a glimpse of the house, all hardwood and cozy sofas and a big farmhouse table in the dining room, before June whisked her right out the back door and into the fenced-in backyard. Chapter 16. Hideaway. If Taryn were here and she knew about Ivy's stormy pictures, she would definitely call this a sign and whip out her tarot cards. Because there was a treehouse. In June's backyard. Ivy stared up at the structure, nestled among the gnarly branches of a giant oak near the back fence. A rough wooden ladder led up to a square house. It had a little door and real glassed-in windows on the other three sides.
"Isn't it perfect?"
June asked, pulling Ivy closer. The yard was neatly trimmed, but it didn't have any flower beds or a little vegetable garden like Ivy's house had.
Well, like her house used to have.
"Yeah," Ivy said, but it came out as more of an exhalation, because it was perfect. She could almost see herself inside, safe and happy, and not lonely at all because she was with... A little lightning storm ignited in her belly. June marched right over to the ladder and planted a foot on the bottom rung.
"Now, technically, I'm not allowed up here. My mom thinks it's unsafe."
She hooked finger quotes around the word and rolled her eyes. "But she'll never know."
"Wait," Ivy said. "I don't want you to get in trouble."
June went up another step and glanced down at Ivy.
"My mom is overreacting, as usual. This treehouse is totally fine. The people who owned this house before us built it, and I heard the real estate agent tell Mom it was barely a year old. Plus, Mom always takes a 30-minute shower when she gets home, and her room is at the front of the house. We're good to go. But come on, Ivy, I want to show you the inside.
Ivy's stomach flickered some more, but she ignored it. The treehouse did look pretty sturdy. The ladder didn't even creak when she started climbing. By the time Ivy reached the top, June had the door open and Ivy spilled inside. The floor was smooth, and a sweet, woodsy scent filled the entire space. But what really grabbed Ivy's attention was all the stuff. Clearly, this was not June's first trip into the treehouse. There was a camping chair in one corner and a nest of blankets in another, and several books stacked in a neat pile next to an actual lantern. Granola bars and fruit snacks and juice boxes overflowed from a little basket near the door.
Wow, Ivy said. June held out her arms. Behold, my hideaway. Isn't it glorious?
Ivy had to admit that it was glorious. Through the windows, she could see the first stars just starting to peek into the sky.
Your mom has no clue you come up here? Ivy asked.
Nope, and she never will if I can help it.
June flipped a switch on the lantern and a golden glow filled the room. Then she plopped into the camping chair and stretched out her legs, her hands folded behind her head.
She'd probably have the thing torn down.
But why?
June shrugged, but Ivy could tell there was more to Dr. Somerset's rules about the treehouse. Way more. Ivy sat in the corner with all the books and blankets. It was a perfect reading nook. She tucked her legs under her and tilted her head at June.
Are you the glass girl from your poem? Ivy asked.
June shrugged again, but in a way that Ivy knew the answer was yes.
I don't want to be.
That's the point. Night noises closed in all around them, crickets and a gentle breeze, leaves bumping into each other on their branches.
My parents got divorced last year, June said. Mom and I left California to come here.
Start fresh, she said.
She's just really protective.
Your dad's still there?
Yeah, I barely see him, and it costs too much to fly out there very often. Do you miss him? June nodded. A lot. I miss my mom, too.
I mean, yeah, she's always there. Major helicopter parent. But it's like,
I miss the way we used... June sucked in a breath and shook her head. She's just changed a lot.
Ivy didn't know what to say to that, but she knew exactly how to feel.
It wasn't a good feeling, but it was bright and familiar, and it flowed down her arms and into her fingers. My mom's changed a lot, too, she said. Since she's had the twins, I feel like I barely see her. And now our house is gone, and everything is awful. We haven't worked on a Harriet story in almost a year.
June started to nod, but then she froze, her eyes widening.
What do you mean a Harriet story?
Oh, Ivy laughed. My mom is Elise Hart. June sprang forward in her camping chair and grabbed Ivy's hand.
What?
Ivy laughed again.
It's true. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. How did I not know this? I thought your last name was Aberdeen.
It is. Hart was her name before she married my dad. That's the name she uses to write.
I can't believe my mom never told me. She's your mom's doctor. I feel so betrayed.
This girl was so funny.
Well, they probably weren't talking about Harriet at her pregnancy appointments.
No, I guess not, but oh my gosh, this is amazing!
I guess. Do you get to help her when she writes?
Sometimes.
Oh my gosh! This is you!
She reached over the edge of the chair and pawed at a stack of books, grabbing a thin, tattered paperback. Ivy recognized it immediately. June opened Harriet Honeywell and the Mermaids of Hurricane Cove one-handed and pointed to the dedication. To my brilliant girls, without whom Harriet would never have been born.
Yeah, Ivy said. Do you write too? I know you draw like her. You're so good!
Take a breath, June. June sucked in some air and let it out really slowly.
Sorry. I've just never met a real author before. I never thought I would.
It's fine. I get it.
But fine wasn't really the right word. Ivy would probably be excited if she met Shannon Hale or Jacqueline Woodson or someone like that, but she just felt so weird about Harriet and her mom lately. She fell silent and pulled her eyes away from the Harriet book. It hurt to see it, like looking at a picture of a friend you don't talk to anymore. June seemed to get that Ivy felt sad about it. She squeezed Ivy's hand, and Ivy squeezed back. Her belly fluttered and flashed. The feeling was wild and sort of unpredictable. Just like a good summer storm. She'd never felt this kind of thing with Taryn or any other friend from school. She wasn't sure what made June so different, but at the moment, she didn't care. This was exactly what Ivy had wanted when she drew her first treehouse picture. Some place that was all her own, where secrets were safe. Of course, this place was all June's own. But Ivy had a feeling that was exactly what the treehouse was for June, too. And she was sharing it with Ivy. Then Ivy remembered that her secrets weren't safe. That was the whole reason Ivy was there. She'd been so distracted by being happy that she'd totally forgotten. That bright, fluttery feeling went dark and still. She pulled her hand away from June. "We should probably draw your glass girl," she said. "Right," June said, her back snapping straight. "Maybe you should check on your mom, just in case." Ivy's face burned red as an idea came together, but she hoped it was too dark for June to notice. "Good idea. Knowing my mother, she's probably disinfecting the bottoms of all my shoes right about now." June sighed and stood up, brushing her hands on her pants. At the latter, she turned and smiled at Ivy. "Hey, thanks for coming over tonight. I've never shown anyone my treehouse. Or my poems. Thanks." Then she was gone in a flash, climbing down the ladder. Ivy peered over the ledge, inhaling the piney scent of the wood, and watched June disappear into her house. Ivy's fingertips tingled, and her breath came fast and hard. But she pushed June's thanks out of her mind and went to work. She kneeled next to the lantern and unzipped her backpack, dumping out all June's stuff. Most of the papers were just drawings, but the journal was what interested Ivy the most. Ivy started in the back, flipping until she came to the most recent entries. She felt worse and worse with every page turn. She hunted for her name, for any hint that June was the keeper of her secrets. But nothing dated since the storm said anything about Ivy. It did say a lot about June, though. Ivy's attention snagged on certain words over and over again. Words like lonely and wish and want. One poem in particular, written before the storm, intrigued Ivy so much that she read it twice. "They don't know I watch them. I am a spy, a lonely girl with a mission, trying to see what I missed. They laugh, and I want to know the joke. Their eyes widen, and I want to know the gossip. But they're too far away, happy without me. They see me, but they don't see me. And I am no longer a spy. I am a girl tucked in bed, hidden away in her cage forever." It was so pretty and sad. It didn't rhyme, but Ivy knew not all poems did. Free verse is what her language arts teacher called it. She remembered that Emily Dickinson's poems hardly ever rhymed, or made any sense for that matter. But they made Ivy feel something, and June's poem did the same thing. Maybe that was what poetry was. Feeling. Ivy scanned the poem again, noticing the date scribbled at the top. It was barely 2 weeks old. She had so many questions. Who were they? Why did June feel like a spy? And why was she tucked in bed when all she wanted was a friend? She was so busy rereading and wondering, her curiosity speeding up her heart, she didn't hear the soft footfalls climbing the ladder. "What are you doing?" Ivy jumped nearly a foot in the air, and June's journal slipped out of her lap. It knocked over the lantern, which spun and spun on its side so that the whole treehouse seemed lit by a disco ball.
Nothing,
Ivy said, scrambling to her feet and righting the lantern. I was just looking for that Glass Girl poem.
June frowned and bent down to pick up her journal. It was still open to the poem June never showed Ivy, the poem Ivy never should have read.
June's eyes flitted over the words, her frown growing deeper and heavier.
I'm sorry,
Ivy said.
I didn't mean to see it, I just...
But she couldn't go on, because that was a lie, too.
June closed the book and hugged it to her chest. Her lower lip trembled, and Ivy didn't know what to do. June's expression was horrible. Not horrible in an ugly way, but horrible in a sad, lonely way. Ivy never wanted to see that expression again. She wanted to make June smile like she had when they'd first drawn whales in the school library.
June had been so happy, and it was such a simple thing, those little cartoon whales. At that very moment, Ivy didn't even care about her own notebook or who had it or who didn't.
I'm really sorry,
Ivy said again. June nodded. I think I can manage my Glass Girl on my own now. Thanks.
June.
My mom's almost done with her shower. I better get inside. June gathered up all her loose papers into a neat little stack and tucked them inside the journal while Ivy watched. She felt helpless, her cheeks hot with shame. Without another word, June climbed down the ladder, leaving Ivy all alone in the treehouse.
Chapter 17. A Real Girl. That night, Ivy couldn't sleep. When she was sure she wouldn't wake anyone up, she slipped out of the bed she shared with Layla and crept into the bathroom. The only decent place she could stretch out comfortably was in the tub, so she climbed in and pulled the curtain closed around her. She balanced the yellow notebook Robin had given her on her lap, pencil poised. She couldn't stop thinking about June and what happened in the treehouse. She wanted to make it up to June somehow, even though she knew nothing would ever make up for what she did. A lump stuck in Ivy's throat. She thought about her notebook and how awful Ivy felt that it was out there, being looked at and inspected without her permission. And she had done the exact same thing to June. One thing she was sure about, June was not the keeper of her biggest secret. She couldn't be. No one who looked as sad and embarrassed as June had could have left that note in Ivy's locker. But if it wasn't June, then who was it? Ivy shook off the thought for now, determined to make things right with June. She let her pencil move on its own. She didn't think. She just drew. She didn't want to draw June's Glass Girl. That was for June to create. But she did want June to see how Ivy saw her. As a real girl. No glass in sight. The lines formed, the curves swooped over the paper, eyes and face and mouth and body. Ivy used the pencils she got from Robin to fill in the color. When she was finished, Ivy was out of breath and her stomach was full of lightning bolts again. But she was smiling too. She sat back, the cold porcelain of the tub seeping through her borrowed t-shirt, and took in her drawing. A girl, pixie-haired and smiling, was floating above the ocean, rays arrowing out from behind her, where a brilliant red-orange sun was rising. The water was a beautiful turquoise, a color it took Ivy at least 30 minutes to get right, mixing the blues and greens until it was perfect. The girl had her arms and fingers spread like she was about to hug the whole world. Her legs dangled in the air, bare feet relaxed, a simple white dress flowing around her calves. Despite the rising sun, stars sparkled in the sky next to a crescent moon. It was June's world. And Ivy wanted anything to be possible inside of it, even a girl who flew above a turquoise sea. The next morning, after she'd choked down yet another granola bar, Ivy left early for school while Mom was busy wiping Aaron's leaky nose. Dad had already left for work and Layla was grumbling over the chemistry homework she'd left undone. Ivy stole down the quiet streets, newly washed in the morning sun. It had rained during the night, a gentle and safe sprinkle that Ivy let lull her to sleep after she'd stayed awake for hours drawing, and now the pavement shined like polished silver. When she reached Cherry Street, she slowed down. This morning, June's house looked a little different. For one thing, it was sage green with a raspberry red trim. Ivy was so focused on her mission when she got there yesterday, she could have sworn it was a dull beige trimmed with a slightly darker dull beige, like all the other houses. But of course, June's house would never be beige. Ivy tiptoed up the front steps. Everything was quiet. It was early enough that June might not even be awake yet, but Ivy certainly didn't want to get caught. Before she could back out, Ivy took the picture she drew last night out of her backpack and slid it through the mail slot in June's front door. For a split second, she wished she could take it back. Her stomach felt funny again, like it did yesterday in the treehouse before Ivy had gone and ruined everything. What if she'd ruined everything forever, and June never talked to her again? What if June hated the picture? Ivy couldn't remember ever wanting someone to love a picture as much as she wanted June to love this one. What if? Breakfast, June! Dr. Somerset called from somewhere inside. Ivy stumbled backward. Her feet tangled, and she grabbed the arm of a rocking chair so she wouldn't fall down the stairs. When she righted herself, she didn't waste any time turning around and running to school as fast as her still sore ankle would carry her. Chapter 18. Crush. June ignored Ivy in homeroom. Or maybe she was just so focused on whatever she was drawing that she didn't notice Ivy. Or maybe she despised Ivy now and hated the picture Ivy drew for her, and their friendship was over and done with forever and ever. When the bell rang, Ivy didn't stick around to see if June might talk to her. Not knowing was better. Not knowing still meant possibility. Ivy didn't think she could handle June walking right past her and not even saying hi. Ivy made a beeline out the door and sat in her first period class by herself, while everyone else chattered in the hallway for 5 minutes. By lunchtime, Ivy still hadn't spoken to June, but there was a note in her locker. As soon as Ivy saw it, her palms started to sweat. It was another one of her stormy drawings. In this one, she was with a girl who had white blonde hair, inside a treehouse that was made completely of jewels. Rubies, emeralds, diamonds, and sapphires. The scene sparkled around the two girls. Clipped to one corner of the drawing was a small square of paper. Ivy thought about the question she'd left in her locker the day before. Talk about what? And her hands shook as she reached for the answer. She pressed against her locker as much as she could without actually crawling inside and read the message. You know what? Here, an arrow angled down toward the two girls. Except instead of a point on the end of the arrow, there was a heart. A heart. It was even colored red. Ivy felt sure she was going to throw up right there. She swallowed it down enough to finish reading the message. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's okay. You can have your notebook back when you talk to someone about it. I think it will help. Ivy blinked and read it again. Her drawings didn't embarrass her. They confused her. They scared her. Because she never wanted to draw a boy in those treehouses, and she didn't really understand why. Because she did want to talk to someone about it. She had tried. That night when she went to Layla's room with her stormy drawing and Layla had broken her best friend's heart. Because Gigi didn't think about boys either. She glanced around the hallway, looking for someone who might be watching her read. Drew was across the hall, but his back was to her, and he was digging in his locker. Then again, maybe he was just playing it cool. He was in the gym that day. You're really good. If you do a drawing of the tornado, will you show me? That's what he'd said to her, barely minutes before she found the first picture in her locker yesterday. He'd been so interested in seeing Ivy's drawings. She narrowed her eyes at him, wondering why he would care so much. As though he knew she was thinking about him, he turned around and waved at her, smiling. Ivy didn't smile back. In fact, she scowled. Drew's smile dimmed, and he shook his head before walking down the hall with Miles Brecker toward Mr. Santorini's math classroom. Seething,
Ivy put the drawing back in her locker before she ripped out a piece of paper from her science folder. She scribbled a reply.
Help what? I'm fine. Give me my notebook back.
Hey, did you see Drew today?
Taryn asked.